This is Down to Brass Tacks. Coming out of what we've heard in the news here as it relates to the COVID monitoring unit and the challenge that they're facing with the PSVs, it's not the first time we've heard that they're cracking down and that they're trying to get the PSV operators to conform with the protocols. My question is whether they are facing the kind of challenge that the licensing authority and the police have faced with the PSVs over the years, and whether they are seeing any greater success in trying to address that particular problem. What are your thoughts? And then, as it relates to cracking down on bars, this is the dilemma that they face. You can go into a bar with a mask on and get your hands cleaned and all of that. But from the time you buy the drink, you gotta take off the mask. And that is where the problem lies. How can you drink with your mask on? So let's talk about these things. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hi, David.
Yes, welcome.
Very interesting statement you just made in the last hour. You can't drink with your mask on.
You can't drink with a mask on?
Yeah, but my concern with the Martin unit, look, they seem to have a job to do, right? But this idea about walking into bars and trying to shut down people's places, I really believe that there's some sort of communication and direction should be given to the owners of this establishment, because in any case, you have to remove the mask to drink the drink.
Or eat anything that they are serving.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, you just can't walk around high-handed because you got the opportunity to use your protocols to shut down people's places. Because really and truly, in all fairness to the government of Barbados, the government have done a great job where there are no known community spread COVID cases in Barbados, and not even on the PSVs. So, I mean, yes, I know they have to do the job. Because as the Prime Minister mentioned the other day, 90% or more are imported cases that come into Barbados from airplanes, not is that advance. So one has to be very careful. And I think that high-handedness is something that when it gives people a certain amount of power, you need to handle it with some delicate care. However, that's not really my main point. Second, my point is that you talked about the vending on the roads in Barbados, right? This vending on the road thing is a what you call a Caribbean thing, because all over the world, vending happens in. But let me say all over the world. Places I have been to, and I've traveled to a number of countries in the Caribbean as well as international countries. There are vending going on in those places, and don't talk about Trinidad. It's even worse in Trinidad than Barbados. And fortunate for us, we have the problem with the coconut vendors leaving the coconuts on the road. And then recently you see people selling homemade drinks like water and lemonade and what the case may be to make a dollar. Well, fair enough. But, I mean, when people get on the radio and they try to want to remove them off the road, I have a slight problem because, they can be somewhat regulated. And, I mean, it's a simple case that the average man or woman looking to make a dollar. That is the bottom line. Simple as that. Thirdly, yesterday's program with you and Glenn Murray, I had to smile to myself when I heard Bishop Adley, because he never really was really so pompous as he was yesterday.
You say pompous?
However, well, I mean, I know he was talking big shot, talking like he in charge, right? I know he's the leader.
Some people would say confident.
Well, maybe so, but I can tell Mr. Adley this year from my perspective, I'm over 50 going to 60. I believe that Bishop Adley's last days in Parliament he should enjoy, because I don't think, from my knowledge of political sphere in Barbados, that he will ever win a seat in Barbados again.
Why not?
I don't think so. Barbados don't go that road. I think that the Bishop Adley party has to establish itself first as a dominant force in this country. And you got to bring people to the fore that Barbados are prepared to get close to understand, right? I'd be surprised if elections are called and he put out a slate of 30 candidates or whatever, and he ever win one. That's the honest truth. If you get a person like, say, and you know very well, Richie Haynes was a prominent man in this country, the NDP. And the NDP had relatively known candidates in Barbados. relatively known candidates. And the only one capable of winning a seat in that was the NDP, was Richie Haynes.
In the last elections, I'm sure that you didn't expect that Solutions Barbados would have gotten that many votes as well. Didn't get seats, but it got votes.
Well, you see, the thing in the last elections, I would say the media played a very integral part.
Let me hear how.
The media played an integral part in the demise of the Democrats. But David, you know for a fact that, look, the last government that we had here was badly managed. The leadership was poor, right? And no one can blame the state of affairs as the state of the country.
So how do you blame the media for that?
Because the media was after the government every single day, headlines.
More so than they were after any other previous administration.
I'll tell you, yes.
You really believe that?
You had moderators on your program, that were digging at the government, digging at them morning, noon, and night.
Come on. Let's be realistic.
No,
let's be realistic about the situation. While there were moderators who might have been digging at the government of the day, the government of the day got every possible opportunity to represent itself and declined. And in those circumstances are you going to attack us for the failure? They had ample opportunity and refused to do so.
Well, maybe you may be right, because the Prime Minister, I can't recall the former Prime Minister we had in Barbados, ever had a press conference regarding anything in Barbados.
Well, he had one or two press conferences at events, but the way that we have grown accustomed to having Prime Ministers come to address the country on issues and that sort of thing, that was a different approach. And I'm saying categorically that on many occasions, they were asked to come and send representatives to discuss specific issues, and they had a point to prove that they really didn't need to do these things because they could survive without that. I don't know who advised them, but that was their view.
But no, they can't. The problem the last government they had. Let's look at the sewage issue that I had in the South Coast. I can't recall any time that the Prime Minister ever went to any of those businesses in South Coast and even had a chat, went to the area, because there were one or two businesses that had gone to the others that never recovered.
So don't blame the media?
I'm saying the former administration have themselves to blame for where they are today. I'm not blaming the media on that response, but I will say to you, sir, that the media had played a very integral part in dismantling the government in many ways, because they have allowed the media to do that. And as you said just now, they had an opportunity to come to the people of Barbados, and they refused to come. So when you don't do the things that you're supposed to do, you got to pay the penalty. And that is where I think. But I was quite interested in listening to Bishop Adley yesterday about his relationship with the current Prime Minister. And when he said that he will never become a cabinet minister because of his dealings with the leader of the opposition at the point in time, and he knows where he stands, so he went to opt to do the opposition leader. Question is this year: suppose he had get a job as a special envoy, would he still be he still went for the opposition leader? I don't think so. So a lot of things have been said yesterday that one has clearly looked at.
You don't know what might have taken place between the two of them at that point, because you're dealing with politics, and you know in those circumstances it is possible that one can look for peace, trying to find compromise, and the other person may well say, look, in these circumstances I feel I will be compromised if I take it. So you know, that did not come up. But that doesn't mean that it didn't happen. So don't come to the conclusion that, don't dismiss it, huh?
But no, but he also said on two occasions that the current Prime Minister never wanted him to run as a candidate for the Barbados Labour Party. And I asked you the question today. Mm-hmm. Do you personally think, from your knowledge, that he is capable of retaining his seat in the St. Michael area?
Well, it's going to be hard for him to do so. But, you know, you're dealing with human behavior. And to what extent are we seeing any sea change in how some of the people in Barbados look at the political parties Much depends upon what happens with the Democratic Labour Party. Much depends upon how people see the current administration. At the moment, this administration has been perceived by people as doing very well in many areas, but there's this creeping sense that the BLP is going to have to be fighting off the perception that it looks after the interests of a narrow group of people. And if it is able to fight that by demonstrating that there is significant changes in the way that things are panning out, businesses and that sort of thing, then it may remain the highly dominant force that it is. But I am one of those who would be reluctant to tell you right here and right now that I know how it is going to pan out in the next elections because of the variables.
I don't think that there will be a change in government in the next election. What I perceive that may happen, they may very well lose one or two seats that they have currently in their possession. However, I think that the government...
But you believe that they will lose them only to the Democratic Labour Party?
Well, I can't see the alternative party coming to Barbados and be accepted. Even look, we had Granville Phillips he used all that VOB have given him and whatever form to come to the people. He uses IXO 4000 or X whatever he's using in terms of the economic situation, and he keep on pushing that all the time. He did his best. He had opportunities, and he took it with both hands. However, he was rejected at the polls. And I'm saying to you, sir, Barbados has a population of 280,000 people on average. If you look at the voter turnout in the last general elections, well over 33% of the voters did not vote in the last elections. They just didn't vote. And I'm saying to you, I believe in all honesty that since 1938, the Barbados Labour Party was formed in 1938, the Democratic Reform was formed in 1955. Since those two parties have arrived before independence and after independence, the country is such a small island that we have grown accustomed to these two major parties controlling. And as I said to you earlier, the National Democratic Party wanted to go on the third party line, and they had powerful individuals in terms of political stalwarts, one would say. And they didn't fare well because I think Barbadians have a very strong tendency of using their political power to proceed for the Democratic Labour Party or the Barbados Labour Party. And the Barbados Labour Party has always had a tagline of always going to the elitists in terms of supporting their policies more and more so than ever. And this is something that we have to look at. I would be very surprised to see a party now emerge in the next 2 to 3 years that could come and tell Barbados, look, this is the alternative party. And as you mentioned, I read an article today that the need to come and tell the people the alternative, what can be done to change the system. We had a problem with our
because
economy.
One of the problems that the Dems face is the perception in many quarters that they performed so badly as the last administration. And between now and elections, and during the election campaign, one can anticipate that the government is going to come forward with other allegations and or information that will put the DLP on the defensive based upon all that has been said so far. So I would not be surprised if that happens, and that's going to make it even more challenging for them, no matter who leads the DLP.
Exactly, right. And I say to you, that is why here's an opportunity now that every 5 minutes or 10 minutes you could hear Verlo de Pisa come on your radio and say, oh, we criticize that. We hear Ryan Walters say to criticize that. But what are your different, what are the alternatives that you're giving to the people?
Well, you don't come with alternatives this early, you know.
Yes. No, I don't think so. But I mean, you're criticizing for criticizing's sake. And I believe, again, we need to get the message out to those political parties that despite the government is doing very well with the mandate that they have, I don't think that Barbadians are quite happy to not to be able to have that additional voice in Parliament or the necessary period.
Okay, point taken.
That is serious.
Thank you very much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program. Somebody is saying to me that a place called Cavewood in Tichborne, or Canewood, okay, it looks like Cavewood, in Tichborne, St. Michael, and surrounding areas, haven't had a garbage pickup for 3 weeks now. 3 weeks now. Now, you know, we've had a marked reduction in these types of complaints, and therefore I hope that the Sanitation Service Authority would look into this, okay? This person says here, is not being high-handed. It's been known for a long time that at the bars, that when you are seated either alone or with your group, you remove your mask to eat or drink. However, persons have been walking around and also going to the bartenders with their masks off. If you're doing either of the latter two things, your mask has to be on. Thank you very much for that. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air?
Since you read the WhatsApp or email or whatever, I was just going to make a similar point. You go to the establishment and you enter, you sanitize your hands, you get your temperature check, you write your contact information, and you enter with your mask on until you're seated. And this is my experience, until you're seated in either as an individual, a couple, or a group. Then at that point, then you're allowed to take off your mask. The problem is that the proprietors need to monitor the or have the hostesses or whatever constantly monitor the movement of people when they're going to the bathroom or when they're going to the bar so that they can put on their mask. The other thing, the entertainment spots that provide, you know, entertainment on the floor and stuff, when they're on the floor, they are supposed to have on their mask when they're congregating. And that is the problem. I don't think the COVID unit is being they're abusing power or whatever. I think the onus is on the proprietors, whatever, the bar owner to monitor the situation and to avoid these groups of people congregating without masks on the floor. So it's a bit disingenuous to suggest that the COVID unit is a bit high-handed. Because I've seen the whole scenario play out, and I too got up from my station and attempted to use the bathroom, not forgetting that I didn't put on my mask. And at that particular time, when he was to say, retrieve your mask. So it is, it can't really come down too hard. I would think it would be unfair on the COVID unit. I think they're trying their best to do their job.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. And that's what this exercise is about. You have different views. So let's share them. Welcome. You're on the air. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you this afternoon, Mr.
Ellis? I'm okay.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, I want to ask a question or two. Mr. Ellis, we have done, I would say, fairly good the way we've managed this COVID outbreak, if you can call it that. Now, I want to ask you, because I think you are a torchbearer, and not for any A, B, C, D, or Y. Do you think that we should maintain the protocols as set out, or that we should be in any way try to go around, short circuit, and do anything that might cause us to slip from where we are? What's your position?
You know, my view has always been that we have to be guided by the science. But there is always that difficulty where you're still trying to jumpstart the economy, trying to do as much as you can to refloat the tourism sector, for example, to get people into jobs because the unemployment rate has really shot up as a result of that. So recognizing that that is the case, then we have to be cautious as individuals because, you know, in the quest to do one, you can find yourself compromising the other. That is true. The dilemma that we face.
But what I say that to say this, Mr. Ellis. We either going to try to do the things that we believe, as you said, by the sciences, are correct, or don't do them. Now tell me, you are a driver of a minibus, a government bus, whatever. You have a destination. You're going from Bridgetown to St. Lucie, up in the farthest. When you get to St. Lucie, before you come back to town, you have the privilege of taking your mask off, getting all the fresh breeze in St. Lucie, all the sea breeze, putting it back on and come to town again. Why should you flout the law, the protocol, to cut it at the back of your neck for half or on your chin for 15 minutes? I see but it please, as being stupid.
Well, that's true. I mean, there are some people across the world who believe that they have been able to outsmart others to such a degree that they can outsmart COVID.
Right. And I would like that anyone who comes on the radio at any time, in any capacity, just to hold that line, that you ought to observe what the scientists and things have come up with and try to keep within that framework and try to keep your country safe as possible.
But in all of this, you also have to come to terms with what is human behavior. First of all, we have been grappling with COVID now since late March.
Yes, please.
Right. So part of what happens there is that in many parts of the world, the reaction is that people become frustrated with having to be hemmed in by this virus. All right? So what they do is that the minute that you give them any kind of elbow room, they just burst out. And they go back to normal behavior because they say, we'll be tired of this. And remember that there are some places where people are actually visibly protesting against having to wear masks and that sort of thing. Because they are saying, this is against our natural behavior. Find another solution, but not this.
But what I'm saying, I still find that we have people in position who still try to represent people who, in the eyes of all the medical people and all the scientists, you know, have given reasons why you ought to wear a mask. And I believe that representation should be made in our daily papers, on every radio station, to try to hammer home the point that you ought to do the things that are set out to be
in Barbados. Part of the problem lies with the argument you heard just now from somebody else. We don't have COVID in Barbados. Is that we are importing
it? But some saying that, you know, I've heard some argument that they ain't got this COVID, is this thing produced by this body and everything.
Well, the conspiracy theorists, that's a different matter.
No, the other thing I wanted to ask you about before, because I've not been on for quite a while. I want to ask these questions. I heard Reverend Averly yesterday, and I've never heard him with such fluency and with and with authority as he spoke. Mr. Ellis, I spoke during the election on about 3-4 occasions on Reverend Averly's platform. I have never heard a wrong cluster from his mouth for people to wrong him. Anything anti-BLP during that period?
Anything anti-BLP?
Anti-BLP, yeah.
Okay.
At all.
Right.
And the praises of our Prime Minister, you know.
Isn't that politics? Longing. Isn't that politics?
That's before the BLP wins
30 love.
I say that to say this, you know, if he were as strong then as he is now, I believe that he could have come out openly and said that he had some, you know, the opposition at this or so.
At what point? You all are running a campaign to convince the whole of Barbados that you are a united political force. and that all you should try to win as many seats as possible. Tell me which politician is going to do that.
So therefore, would you consider that being dishonest?
No, I would consider...
No, I asked you a straight-up question.
No, but let me answer the question.
That would have been
let me answer the question.
That you and I invade together.
Let me ask you the answer to the question this way. I think that politicians depend upon the circumstances prevailing at a given point in time. Once the elections were over, something totally unexpected happened. The Barbados Labour Party won 30 seats. And therefore, that made a material difference in the way that he saw things. And as politicians can do all the time, they are able to rationalize any position that they take.
But you know what, you see that word you use, they're able to rationalize any position? Well, this is the position that the masses, you know, are not stupid.
Yes.
And I can't be with you on this moment and then just deny you.
Well, if the Labour Party believes that, what do you think the Labour Party should do? If it genuinely believes that that shouldn't happen again, it will go and make a change that would require that anybody who crosses the floor cannot stay in Parliament unless there is a by-election.
But let me say this, Mr. Ellis, and you know it too, because you are one of the best skaters in the world. You can get around the sharpest turn
without
even tilting. Let me say this.
You think that I am a politician too?
No. Very close to that. But let me say this. Whenever it is said and done, Prime Minister Morley has the ability, and she understands politics, and she will not be easily bamboozled. And all the talk, you know, that I hear, I admired him yesterday, you know, I listened to 10 minutes and 30,
yeah.
And I gave him almost full marks for the way he defended himself.
Well, let me ask you this question. You say that the Prime Minister will not be easily bamboozled.
Nah.
Will she easily bamboozle us?
No, because...
How come? Why can't she do that?
I didn't want to touch on this one. you are in power, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah.
You decided not to use the white charters. And you almost... This is what... You know, this is what I'm saying. You don't want no white charters. Mr. Stewart's regime or whatever.
He didn't want white shadows?
I'm saying that we're no talking about white shadows.
Yeah.
I am saying if you didn't get support by bringing along the white shadows and you fell from the wayside. No. Prime Minister Motley.
Are you suggesting
has power, and she uses some of the white shadows to help promote Barbados and to get us from the bottom. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. If you believe that it is the white shadows that caused the Labour Party to win, exclusively the white shadows, then you will end up with the kind of question that you have posed. Remember, politics is about dealing with competing interests.
That is true.
All right? So you have to be able to balance the interests of the white shadows and the economic forces against the demand for jobs and the empowerment of more of the majority of the country.
But Mr. Ellis, when are you going to put out a hard copy, even a soft copy, of the role of the citizen in the determination of upcoming elections or something? Because let me tell you, if you really study Ellis, Mr. Ellis, sorry about that. You know, I don't think you were worrying me.
Not
about
offended.
That. If you were to study Ellis as his pronouncements and how he behaves on the radio, you know you're confused too.
I will say this to you. You may be confused, but I would like to think that as a person in the media, my principal role is that of reflecting what is coming at me within the society, and then trying to put that to the people in power in both the private and the public sectors. That's my principal role.
I believe you. I believe.
And therefore, if you, this happens too with the government, the political parties. A political party comes to office and it gets all the support coming from people on the air and that sort of thing within this project. But after a while, it starts to get more criticism than it had before. And it starts to question who is leading this, whether the people who sit here as moderators are the ones who are leading the charge in that regard, or whether it is coming from the people, or whether we are facilitating it and encouraging it. And many times what I've seen is that we are merely reflecting what is happening out there.
On the floor, on the ground?
Yes. We have to... Listen, let me put it this way. I don't really believe that we could remain popular in doing this if we do not respond to the people.
No,
we have to be responsive to...
But that is the real use of the program. But I'm going to ask this. Let us say that, for argument's sake, mm-hmm. you're going to run a government and you don't want no white shadows. You only want black and brown shadows.
No, I don't think that. I don't
you're
know that. I hear that.
Like,
I do not hear that.
You know?
I do not hear that. What I hear from some quarters is the fact that you've got a couple of people who may be considered these so-called white shadows, who may be on more than one board. The what is also coming back is that people who were seen as favored people under the last DLP administration are as favored today as they were then, and some of them appear to be more favored. That's the kind of feedback that you're getting. Then you're also looking at the structure of the society, certain business operations and stuff like that. There are certain people who, because of their economic might, are able to extend their tentacles here, there, and everywhere. And what people are really asking for is not to eliminate people of different color from any economic power, but to be more sensitive to the fact that this economy demands that more of the majority of the people of Barbados get a piece of the pie. You campaigned, as you said, and you know that one of the central themes of the last Labour Party opposition was they were going to give more contracts to the average people in this country, not just building houses and that sort of thing, but to encourage a situation where the government contracts can help build up those businesses as well, in an environment, as you well know, where people got real trouble trying to get financing and that sort of thing.
It has been. I'm no economist at all, but I've lived long.
Mm-hmm.
How many? You know, when we talk about contracts, I don't think that the government in its 2 years and change has been able really to do a lot, because the position that they found themselves in on winning the government, and just recently this COVID. I mean, only a magician now. And I must say
I think that what you should be asking for, therefore, are the facts. Look, we had a situation here last week where we said we don't have enough of the information on the transport board matter and the procurement issues there. We asked for more information. The transport board came and gave that information and did a good enough job for many of you. And even in answer to my own queries, that I felt that that's the kind of information we needed.